Good morning, listener to FourDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is Kip Howlett, who's the president of the HPVA, which stands for the Hardwood Plywood Veneer Association. How you doing, Kip?
I'm doing fine, Kemp. Thanks for calling.
Sure. I wanted to get in some details. Since last night, CBS ran that 60 Minutes feature on lumber liquidators, and it got people wondering about a few things, and I think you might be the answer person. Before we get into that, though, tell our listeners a little bit about what the Hardwood Plywood Veneer Association is.
Well, two things. One is we represent North American producers of engineered wood flooring, hardwood plywood, and hardwood veneers. And secondly, we have a IAS-accredited third-party HPVA labs, which has been accredited by the state of California, for example, deputized to do testing for compliance with the California formaldehyde regulation. We go back 35 years, having been one of the agencies certified by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development on formaldehyde. So we've been doing this for 35, 40 years.
Well, I had two questions that I think you can answer for me. The first one is, as I was listening to 60 Minutes, there's obviously a cost ratio with the level of formaldehyde in adhesives. So I think if you're in this business of making plywood, of adhering wood to wood, you probably realize that a high formaldehyde level adhesive has different properties. So tell us a little bit about that, if you would.
Formaldehyde adhesives has been used in the forest products industry for 50 years or more, and it's a great resin system to bind wood fiber together. The reason that you wind up with higher emissions of formaldehyde is that the manufacturer will specify, and they'll have to specify, that they will accept and use a higher formaldehyde type resin. The reason they want to do that is it's the formaldehyde molecule that binds the wood fiber together. Mm-hmm. So if I have X amount of formaldehyde and I bind up X amount of wood fiber, I've done the job. But if I have an excess amount Y formaldehyde, I've got more binder formaldehyde than I needed. So that will emit over then the remaining life of the product. What that means is that I can make my product faster. So I'll lower my production costs, and then I let the consumer basically deal with the excess emissions. And that's the reason why HUD in 1984, California in 2010 established emission levels to basically regulate the amount of emissions, to basically not allow excess emissions off these products.
All right. So if you're in the business of making laminate or plywood or many of these different products out there, you know right off the bat that you can make it faster if you use an adhesive that has high levels of formaldehyde. Is that right?
Yes, and the resin companies have developed these resin formulations that will comply with these regulations, and they market them as such. But if the manufacturer says, well, I don't want one of those, I want something that lets me run my presses faster so I can glue the product together faster, that's between that buyer and that seller. And what we're talking about here are largely offshore Chinese manufacturers, where they're not under the microscope that U.S. and Canadian manufacturers are, because we're well within the jurisdiction of our legal system. We can't get away with it.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's talk about formaldehyde. And it is a natural chemical. I think it's found just in the environment, but it's a known carcinogen, right?
It's a known animal carcinogen. A lot of the agencies have designated it as an assumed human carcinogen. Mm-hmm. I don't think you need to get into the debate about the health effects necessarily.
Right.
When you're looking at, there are regulatory standards that you have to meet.
Yeah.
If you put on your product that I meet them and you don't,
yeah,
then that's a real problem.
So I think one of the things that was the most damaging in last night's little 10-minute show on lumber liquidators was that these mills, these production facilities over in China, they basically knew whether a product was going to be CARB compliant. Is that right?
Well, sure. There are Chinese producers that meet compliant product, but it comes at a price. And I think that's pretty well known. Everyone that I've talked with that does business in China, I've heard over and over and over again that you can buy the compliant stuff, you pay more for it. There's a premium on that. And that's what the North American producers wind up. There's a premium. It costs us more to make that product, but then we have to compete against product that's coming in that is non-compliant. And the real problem is that when it's stamped that it's compliant and it's not, then I want to know, where's the Justice Department? Where's the Federal Trade Commission? Where's the state of California? And why does the manufacturer get away with that kind of stuff? I mean, that's my beef with it. And I think that when you come back and your counter argument is, well, they didn't do the test the right way. Mm-hmm. They did the test the right way. California has very specific testing requirements that if it's a fabricated product, you take the face off and here's how you test the underlying core because it has to be compliant. And that's what, if you're a fabricator, you have to use compliant core. And if you stamp your product that you use compliant core, then it has to be and it should be compliant core.
So when Tom Sullivan gets this phone call and would you come on camera with us, I mean, it's pretty gutsy on his part. I mean, he's the chairman of Lumber Liquidators and he's out there on camera saying that, well, maybe they didn't test it the right way. And you're telling me that there's really only one way of testing it, right?
Well, I'll respectfully disagree with him about that. The state of California very specifically has the deconstructive method that you use to take a face off if you're a fabricator, because California allows somebody to put a face on as long as the core is CARB compliant. And California has very specific test methodology for that. So that was not an accurate statement. There is, in fact, the protocol for how to do that. And then how you then test the product. Geez, we've been doing that for 40 years. It's an ASTM test method that's in all these regulations.
You're actually one of the test labs that worked with 60 Minutes on testing this product, aren't you?
We were, and we've been designated third-party certification lab by the state of California since the outset. We're TPC-8, and we've done U.S. Department of Housing Urban Development formaldehyde certification testing since 1984.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you followed the right protocol for testing for CARB compliance. That kind of takes all the doubt out of whether or not this product is safe and passes the test, right?
Well, that question's got a whole bunch of stuff in it. Mm-hmm. So let's just deal with the one thing. Mm-hmm. We followed the CARB specified testing protocol.
Right.
To take the surface off, we followed the CARB specified ASTM protocol to test the formaldehyde in the chamber. Mm-hmm. So we followed the CARB methodology. The test results, they speak for themselves. They are what they are. I'm not going to get into the debate about what it means with regard to health.
Okay. Well, I knew you'd be an expert, and I appreciate you talking to us. Again, been talking to Kip Howlett, who's the president of the Hardwood Plywood Veneer Association, and you've been listening to Kempar and FloridaLA.net.